Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that you bless this fellowship tonight with your presence, Father. Let your Holy Spirit flow throughout the whole outreach, Lord. And we praise you, Lord, that you're going to do that. We ask, Lord, that tonight there would be special, special things that are brought forward so that we could praise you, Lord, for the testimonies and the praise reports. And we thank you, Lord, that when we pray and we believe what we pray, it's going to be done. We can always count on you, Lord, because you're going to back up what your word and your promises say in the word. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for all that you're going to accomplish tonight in the UBM Outreach Fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. First thing we'll do is ask for prayer requests. Anybody have a prayer request or would like to pray for someone now?
Michael?
Hey.
Hey, I'd like to pray for my nephew. He's had a pretty rough life. He needs some healing and he needs salvation. So I prayed with him for his healing earlier this evening. But if y'all could join your faith with mine.
Amen. Go ahead.
Holy Father, we thank you for your promises, Father, of household salvation and for just answering our prayers, Father. I've prayed that Denny would have a heart for you and that he would come to you, Father, and also pray that you would heal him of these migraines and just give him a blessed life in Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, I just lift up John Schaffner to you too, Lord. I've prayed for him in the past. You brought him back into my memory again, Lord. And I think you're going to do something. I believe you're going to move in his life, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to draw him to you in a mighty way, Lord, and grant repentance to him, Father. And I thank you for that, Lord. He's lost out there. He thinks because he goes to the Presbyterian Church once a month, he's saved, Lord. And I just ask that you put the fear of God on him and have him call out to you, Father. And I praise you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Amen. All right, anybody else? Well, Lord, I just pray your protection and your provisions upon all of your chosen throughout the world, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would give them revelations into your word about your promises, Lord, so that they can overcome these trials and these tribulations that are headed toward us, Lord. And we praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in them. We ask that you protect them from all of this these natural disasters, or we call them natural, but it's something that you're going to be bringing, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you get them out of harm's way in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you're putting the bride in that special place of protection, provision, so that they'll be able to disciple the people that are going to be calling out to you here, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. And you're going to provide for them, give them the knowledge, and just saturate him with your word, Lord. And I praise you for doing that, Father, because you know, we know through the word of God that there's going to be a great revival coming here shortly. And in that great revival, Lord, we know that your rain is going to fall and that the power of God in the form of rain is going to come to fruition in all of its fullness, and that also that the latter rain is going to fall on those certain individuals, Lord, those man-child individuals that will give them perfect knowledge of you, Lord. And we praise you and we just praise you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for all your protection, provisions that you're providing, your bride and your man-child ministry, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else would like to pray? Lord, I pray for your intercessors out there. I lift them up to you, Father. I ask, Lord, that you would supply them with strength and supernatural energy, Lord, and supernatural knowledge, Lord. bring to their mind the things that they need to pray for, Lord, and pray through them in the Spirit, Father, the things that you need prayed for that they don't know about. And Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in the intercessor's life. In Jesus' name, protect them, Father. They are very crucial to the body of Christ in these days. And we praise you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, anyone else?
I'll pray for a guy I've been on and off debating. I somehow got stuck into a Muslim debate with some Muslims. But it was kind of fun. But they kept on, they kind of held the cards that was on their website. So if you post something they don't like, they don't post it. Anyways, this guy is named Faisal M. Duran. We are always going back and forth about the divinity of Jesus. They don't want to deny that he's just God's servant and all that stuff. And I kept on giving them proof otherwise, and they would look at the scriptures and they would twist them, and I would catch them and I'd tell them, hey, you're twisting the scriptures, and challenge them and try to explain things better and tell them they shouldn't be teaching and all that stuff. But I had enough, and I nailed them on their beliefs and what they were doing in the world, and then I didn't get any more responses. So anyways, I'm going to bring that up to you, Lord. I was been going back and forth with this as Faisal, and whether or not it's your will that he comes into your kingdom. He has the initiative to look through scriptures, but he looks through his own eyes. He's trying to find fault and deception and lies that you know that's not true, Lord. I want you to knock on his heart and make him realize he's in the false Christian religion. He's the one that's following after Satan, and we're only trying to bring him the light and the truth. Show him your love, Jesus. I'd like you to bring yourself to him if it's in your will and expose you for who you are so he knows that you're the Son of God, you are the Messiah, you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and beside you there is no other. And Lord, I know you did that with Paul, and you can do that with anybody you wish. If it's your desire for this young man or whoever this guy is to bring him into your kingdom, Lord, I ask you to open his eyes so he can see. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving all the Muslim brothers out there, Lord, that we know that's going, you're going to be, that you're already bringing into the kingdom, Father. We thank you for Faisal and bringing him in too, Lord, in Jesus' name. All right, anybody else? Prayer request time. Marlon, would like to pray for somebody. Yes, go ahead, Marlon.
Yeah, I'd like to pray for my wife. She's been really tired, just doesn't have any energy lately, and I'd just like to pray in agreement with everyone.
Okay.
Well, Father, I just lift up my wife, Gaynell, to you, and we just come against any demonic spirits that would be taking her energy away. We just rebuke you in Jesus' name and command you to go. You have to go. You can't be there because we're not under the curse. And we just thank you, Lord, that you did give us authority over those spirits. And we thank you that you're going to give her energy. She'll have be full of energy and she won't even know where it come from. Just we'll know it came from you because you give us everything we have. And we just thank you and praise you for what you're going to do in my life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for her complete supernatural energy flowing through her body in Jesus' name. All right, anyone else?
Michael, this is Judy. I'd like to pray for my oldest daughter, Angie. She woke up yesterday with really pains in the side and her ribs, and she just really bad. Said she can't even hardly walk. So, dear Heavenly Father, I'm bringing Angie up to you today. You know that she's going to go through some trials and problems, Lord, but I just asking you to be with her and make them less, maybe a little bit less, or maybe not quite as hard. So, Lord, just be with her. Bless her. Let her know that you are the one that will do the healing when it's time for the healing to be done. And I praise you for everything that you are doing for her, and that I believe in household salvation so that one day my family will be with me. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. Amen.
Amen. We believe that, Judy. That's going to happen.
I wasn't quite sure how to pray because I got a verse that you know, when I was asking about my daughters, and it said that he's going to bring them through some some trials and stuff, and that, you know, he will bring them in. But so I wasn't sure how, because I know they're going to go through some trials, so I wasn't sure quite how to pray for her. So what do you suggest on that?
Well, you pray just like you're supposed to. You pray that God would save her, this household salvation. When you pray and you believe what you pray, it's going to happen.
Well, I meant like when she's really, like if she's not feeling good and really sick and stuff, do I still command the demons to leave her and stuff?
Well, is she a Christian?
She knows God, but, you know, one of these in-between things.
Yeah. Well, just keep believing. Just keep believing for it. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to rest. We've already prayed. We know that what we've prayed is going to happen. And whatever God has to do to the people that we prayed for, our loved ones that we prayed for, he's going to have to take them to a trial a lot of time, most of the time, in order for them to open up their eyes to where they are in Christ. And if they're not in Christ, they're going to have to get in Christ. And sometimes he has to take them through some trials to get there. So that's what we're looking at. I see the same thing happening in my family. As trial, you don't like to see them sick, but you know God's working in their life because he's going to take them to that place where they're going to have to call out to the Lord. And they will, because we've already given them the word. Amen.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Amen.
All right. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
I think part of Judy's... I'm echoing.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think part of Judy's question is she doesn't want to get in God's way, that she knows that the Lord's going to bring trials to them. And, you know, how does she pray for them, you know, when she knows that God needs to bring trials for them to come to the Lord?
Yeah, that's right.
Did I get that right, Judy?
Yeah, that's right. That's what I was trying to say.
Just thank God. Just thank God. Praise God for the work he's doing in them. That's what we do. Because we've already prayed the prayer of faith, and all we have to do now is just thank him for the work he's doing in them. That's it.
Well, thank one another.
Somebody have another question?
I think we can pray for wisdom, right, for her children. They can see through this and understand what's happening.
Amen. Go ahead, David, please.
All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to give wisdom in this situation for whatever trials they're going through so they can understand this and realize it's you that's working these things in their life. So they can come to a reality and what it is they need to repent of, if it's repentance, or what of faith. If it's faith, they need to come into faith so that they can walk in your benefits, your kingdom, Father. We all need that. So we all, in times of these trials, we need those times. We need you to come alongside us and help us through this, because you didn't put these trials in front of us while having you there to help us get through them. The Lord, give us the wisdom we need, and we ask, let us see it. And if some of us don't ask, maybe to help us out, get the starter going. Give them a little bit of nudge, give them the right direction so that they know what to see and what to ask and what to listen to. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I hear a baby. That must be Terry. All right. Anybody else? What about a testimony or a praise report?
I'll share a kind of a testimony was shared with me and some prayer. But I was with someone from the local assembly, and they're volunteering. And they've been working with local inmates. The inmates have been, you know, helping them and stuff like that. And they've got some great testimonies. But they're working with the inmates, they're proclaiming Christ in that. And this one situation, the inmate was all worried about, And, you know, this person said, well, we're just going to pray about it and God's going to take care of it and you don't have to worry about it. And they prayed about it, and the next day, whatever they prayed for came about. And this inmate gave the glory to God and wrote a song. And he ended up singing this song like a cappella. And it just brought tears to everybody's eyes because he was just basically, thanking God and really what he was doing was in the song. He was just claiming salvation and that it was just kind of neat. it's what they shared. But what this person found out is that these inmates, every day they're in jail, they fine them so much money, and when they get out of jail, they have to pay these fines back. And if they don't pay the fines back, then they end up throwing them back in jail, and the fine just keeps accumulating. You know, so it's, you know, they found this out, and they're like, "You got to be kidding me!" And it's just, you know, stuff. So it's just like a revolving door. Because these inmates are getting out, and you know, nobody wants to hire them because they just got out of jail, and since they can't find work, they can't pay their fine, and then they end up back in jail. So it's just these guys are just kind of constantly in and out, and you know, it just seems like they're caught in the system, you know, type thing. So it just that was shared with me, and I just, you know, see it as the beast has got them, you know, just kind of, you know, caught up in their system, and I'd like to just pray for them. So, Father, I just lift up these inmates that are, you know, just hearing the truth. Some of them are proclaiming Christ, and Lord, it looks like they're, you know, they're caught up in a system that they can't get out of, as far as with paying these fines and getting work and that, and Lord, you know the hearts, you know the men that are in there. And Lord, we just ask you, just the guys that are, you know, truly seeking to be right with you, truly seeking to be delivered from whatever they're dealing with, addictions and you know, whatever it is, Lord, we just ask you, just open their eyes, you just deliver them out of this system, Lord. Father, you open up doors for them to get work and to pay off their fines, that we just bind up the spirits of addiction and the principalities and powers and generational curses that have, you know, got them caught up in this, life of crime or life of drugs or, life of, you know, not paying child support, you know, just life of poverty. And so, Lord, we just thank you for just blessing these men, and we just thank you for their salvation, and we thank you for opening their eyes to truth, Lord. Just give them truth and allow them to just take these seeds that have been planted, and we just ask you just water those seeds, Lord. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Good testimony. Glorifying the Lord. Not sure who that was. It was awful distorted. Is that Marlon? Okay. You're not coming in very good. Okay. All right. Sound like you're in a water barrel.
Yeah, I want to pray. Go ahead. I'll come back. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to pray for Judy. Lord, you know what it's like to be a mother and to have a mother's heart. And I just pray for her right now that you would strengthen her and give her the faith to know that you've got control over her family, over her daughters. I pray that you give her peace of mind to know that if she brings these prayers to you, that you've heard them and you're going to sit on them. I'm sorry, you're going to not sit on them, but Judy can sit and rest. And Lord, that you're just going to take care of the situation. And I just lift up Judy to you, Lord, and I pray that you just give her that truth in her heart and her mind. And we thank you, her daughters, that they are going to come to Christ, because we've all stood in agreement and we have the promises, the promises of a mother. We have the promises that we've prayed. And I just pray you give Judy strength to endure this trial and to wait and watch and to see what you're going to do into her daughter's lives in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, Trish, and thank you, Lord. And I did want to say something for my other daughter, which is really kind of neat. So I want to praise the Lord for what he's done for my middle daughter. This is just really awesome, I believe. She's doing a business where she sells a product that really helps people make them feel better. So she's been working on it, and she's got this gentleman that I didn't realize he was a Christian. And he sent her this text today, and I'd like to read you this text because I can't. It's just really awesome. Hang on just one second. And here's what the text says. I will be putting our team on my daily prayer list. I get up every morning and read the daily scripture on my smartphone app and pray prior to eating breakfast. If you download the same app, we can discuss and retain knowledge and wisdom from God together. I will also pray with you anytime, day or night, when you need a friend. That's, of course, your decision, and I push no one to God. It's not a coincidence that you text me, because I pray God's will in my life daily and request daily for forgiveness, because I am so not perfect, but I do serve the only one and living God. Well, he said that he had been asking God for another kind of business, because what he was doing, he couldn't do it physically. And I just thought, sometimes you can't get through to your children, but someone else can. The Lord's put someone else in front of Amy to really maybe help her and get her going. So that I thought that was pretty awesome.
Hey, man, I love it when God does that, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I do. Thank you, Lord.
All right, anyone else? Testimony, prayer report, or just like to share something?
Can you hear me now, Michael?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can hear you now, Marlon. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm just going to share a praise report. Part of this I'd given once before already, but if you remember, our sister-in-law had cancer, and we've been praying for her for quite a while, and she passed away this week, and funeral was today. And if you remember, about 3 weeks ago, she had a problem forgiving her daughter, and we prayed for her, and you guys prayed for her that night at your Monday night prayer meeting, and it was just a matter of hours after we prayed that the person that was with her that night said during the night she just had a change of mind and she forgave her daughter. And I praise him for that. But as we was at the viewing of the body last night, I'd forgot about there was another lady that her and our sister-in-law, they had some disagreement. And I know they had been friends for a long time, and they hadn't talked to each other, and there was unforgiveness. But we talked to that lady last night at the viewing, and it sounded like they had also got things mended and taken care of. So we just praise the Lord for the way he took care of that unforgiveness in her, because the family had tried for a long time trying to get her to forgive her daughter, and she wouldn't. And it was just a matter of hours after we all prayed for her, and we know that God changed her heart. So that just really shows us that God wants our prayers and our faith. So many times people want to, they want to know what they can do. We always have people say, well, I just feel like I got to do something. Well, we need to pray and then believe by faith that he's going to do it.
Amen. According to your faith, be it done unto you, he said. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Well, today I got an email from a lady that listens to the broadcast on the conference calls. She's not able to attend those nights that we're on, but she listens to them. And here's what she wrote me. She said, I was listening to Thursday night's outreach of Tim's testimony of those three that were tortured and persecuted for their faith in Jesus. And the question that came to me was, where does that fit in with where it says in Revelation 3 that he would keep us from the hour of trial? That is, provided we are abiding in him and keeping the word of his patience. And also in verse 8 of chapter 3, it says, those who did not deny his name. What is the hour of trial then? Can you please elaborate on this and talk about it on the outreach conference? I'd appreciate it very much. Well, I thought about it, and I kind of put together something here, and I'd like to explain a little bit more about why these people are going through these trials. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, and then verse 19 says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial among you, which cometh upon you to prove you, as though a strange thing happened unto you. But insomuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, rejoice, that at the revelation of his glory also ye may rejoice with exceeding joy. Wherefore, let them also that suffer according to the will of God commit their souls in well-doing unto a faithful Creator. Well, these fiery trials today are the efforts of the world, the flesh, and the devil to turn our hearts away from God. And every man is either going to come through the fire and be like precious gold, and that precious gold signifies a divine nature, or else he's going to be a vessel of wood, hay, and stubble, and that's all burned up. And when the pressures and the trials come, if we strike back at others, if we turn against others, we're going to break God's law. And then we give that fiery serpent ground to build strongholds and destroy us. And if anyone has a foundation that's built upon carnal doctrines, they've got a false security. The fire will destroy all of those who walk after a form of godliness, because they walk in disobedience. And anyone who stands on that carnal doctrine as a foundation, they're not standing on the word of God. That foundation is sand, and they themselves are wood, hay, and stubble. And in those fiery tests, that fire is going to consume them, because they don't have any kind of a hedge of protection from God. No other foundation except the Lord Jesus Christ and survive this fire. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 49, he said, But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that built a house upon the earth without a foundation, against which the stream brake, and straightway it fell in, and the ruin of that house was great. Now listen, everybody who follows after a doctrine that does not conform them to godliness is destroyed. When you have false security, you don't act on the word of God, do you? Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, he says, But if any man buildeth on the foundation gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, and stubble, each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire, and the fire, that's the powers of darkness, okay, itself shall prove each man's work of what sort it is. In verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is what? Jesus Christ. And that's why we need the true apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, as it talks about in Ephesians chapter 4. He gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, excuse me, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that's until Christ's love has been perfected in each one of us. And verse 14 says, that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, God has been testing the hearts of men since he put Adam in the garden. He offered Adam the tree of life, and he offered him, or the tree of death. What did he say? God still tests the heart of all creation. And only the ones who love the Lord with all their heart, and they put their faith and their trust in him, is going to survive that fiery test that this world brings on us. And the rest of them are going to break God's law, and they're going to be under the punishment and the judgment of the law because their hearts love idols more than they love God. 2 Peter chapter 2 said, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment unto the day of judgment. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of defilement and despise dominion. Daring, self-willed, they tremble not to rail at dignity or authority. Now we either resist the flesh and the temptations of Satan, or as we walk after the desires of the flesh in unrighteousness. And when you do that, you stay under the judgment and punishment of God's law every time. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1 through 5, he says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and thou art dead. Be thou watchful, in other words, wake up and establish the things that remain, which were ready to die. For I have found no works of thine perfected, because you're not being perfected in love. That's what he's talking about. Before my God, verse 3, remember therefore how thou hast received and didst hear. In other words, remember the gospel and keep it and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come as a thief. That's a thief in judgment. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. He that overcometh, that means somebody that overcomes the world, the flesh, and the temptations of Satan, shall thus be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now Jesus is coming first like a thief in destruction. Jesus didn't come the way the religious leaders expected him the first time. And Jesus ain't coming the same way that the religious leaders expected to this time. He's coming in the man-child. That man-child's coming with judgment on his lips. Isaiah 42, 18 and 19 says, Hear ye deaf, and look ye blind, that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I send? Who is blind as he that is at peace with me, and blind as the Lord's servant? It pleased the Lord for his righteousness' sake to magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and plundered. There are all of them snared in holes. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Who is there among you that will give ear to this, that will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Did not the Lord? He against whom we have sinned, and whose ways they would not walk, neither were they obedient unto his law. Therefore he poured upon him the fierceness of his anger and the strength of battle, and it set him on fire round about, yet he knew not. And it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. Man, the sleeping church is being destroyed today, and they don't even know it. They scoff at the warnings that this scripture gives. The fires of destruction are already being poured out among us. The scriptures are not enough to lead most of these people out of darkness. And that's the reason that only a small remnant are hearing. And the others are not going to wake up as long as it's business as usual. God warns us in his word. Let's look at Luke chapter 17 and start out in verse 28. Likewise, even as it came to pass in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. But in the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. After the same manner shall it be in the day that the Son of Man is revealed. Whosoever shall seek to gain his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I say unto you, in that night, that's the night of great spiritual darkness, there shall be two men on one bed. The one shall be taken, that's by fire, and the other shall be left. Verse 36, there shall be two men in the field. The one shall be taken, that's by fire, and the other shall be left. And they answering say unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, where the body is, that's where the dead body is. Thither will the eagles, that's the vultures, also be gathered together. Now the birds of heaven, they signify the powers of darkness. And that's how Jesus comes as a thief upon the spiritually dead congregations that won't wake up and they won't repent in these days we're in now. Listen, the hedge is Lord and he no longer restrains these hordes of the powers of darkness that have been unleashed against the spiritually fallen away dead church. And if you read these scriptures through the eyes of a carnal doctrine, you're going to be led to believe that the men who are taken from the bed or out of the field are raptured rather than destroyed by fire. This is how the deception in darkness come on us today. That's why people are being burned up and they don't pay any attention. They're not overcoming. This is the fallen away church today that practices sin. The remnant's going to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart. They're going to be perfected in love and holiness. And holiness. And holiness. And ain't nobody going to be able to counterfeit the love that's perfected in the remnant church. You're going to know them by their fruits. And the stumbling blocks will also be evident. And they're going to be destroyed. Those stumbling blocks. Matthew 13:24-26 says, another parable said he before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat and went away. But when the blade sprang up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Listen, the tares are evident because they bear the fruit of the flesh. In Galatians 5:19, it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. And when we practice the deeds of the flesh, we bear that wrong fruit and we break God's law. This is how men who teach doctrines that don't conform us to godliness lead you to walk under the judgment and the curse of the law. And that's how the church is being destroyed in the fire today. They ain't got no fear of God as they teach this form of godliness and become... They become big stumbling block to others. That's the blind leading the blind. They never bear the fruit of love. Matter of fact, they can't because they are tares. Matthew 13:40-41 said, as therefore the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling and them that do iniquity. And that's by practicing sin. Matthew chapter 13, and let's go to 49-50. So shall it be in the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the righteous and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. What is that? That's hate, anger, bitterness, sickness, and pain. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Man, I don't know how many different kinds of denominations and teaching in the USA today. And every one of them has its own form of righteousness. But there's only one true righteousness, and that's walking right in God's eyes. When we establish our own righteousness, we don't submit to the righteousness of God. Israel departed from the law and righteousness of God, and they established their own righteousness, didn't they? And what did Paul say in Romans chapter 10? He said, brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication to God is for them, that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Listen, when the wicked thinks he's righteous in his own eye, there ain't no fear of God at all. He's blinded to the judgment of God because he has that false security. And that's how millions and millions are blinded to the judgment of the law today. Isaiah 51 says in verse 7, "Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye dismayed at their revilings. For the moth," that's the powers of darkness, "shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation unto all generations." Now the righteousness of God, it'll stand forever, because only the righteous are going to survive. God has set up laws to destroy those who are wise in their own eyes and will not submit to the righteousness of God. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same beareth much fruit," and that's the fruit of love. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and they cast them into the fire and they are burned. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit of love, and so shall ye be my disciples. That's God's kind of agape love, is the proof of our discipleship in Jesus. Jesus set us free from being slaves of sin, that's lawlessness, to become slaves of righteousness with a pure heart. Romans 6 and 19 says, "For as you presented your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now present your members as servants to righteousness unto sanctification." That's a pure heart. And Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 21, "What fruit then had ye at that time in the things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end, eternal life." Now listen, through obedience, we got a pure heart, and we are perfected in love to the fullness of the measure of the stature which belongs to Christ. When the Word of God and the Holy Spirit have removed that selfish nature of Satan, we no longer live for ourselves. Therefore, we have that nature of God, and we love others as Jesus loved us. We've laid down our lives so we can walk in God's kind of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 4. Love, that's God's kind of love, suffereth long and is kind. Love, God's kind of love, envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own way, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness, but rejoiceth with truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love, now that's God's kind of agape love, never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall be done away. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be done away. And then verses 1 through 3, it says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountain, but have not love," and this is God's kind of love, "I am nothing. And if I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profiteth me nothing." The God kind of love is the only love which can love your neighbor as yourself. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the ones who come through the fire will have this God kind of love, which is the divine nature of God. The reason why most these people are going through this trial is the error in teaching that they're getting. They don't know their authority in Christ. Luke 10 and 19 tells us about, and they don't know how to bind and loose the enemy. They haven't been taught that. They love God. Don't get me wrong. It's not a bad thing to go to the Lord when you're martyred for Christ. It's not a bad thing. But I'm telling you, the apostate leadership in the world church, Christian church, is not teaching these great and true principles of the Word of God. They've got their own doctrines. They've got their own religion. They've got their own Jesus. And when that happens, people's lives get torn away. They get tortured in those things. Listen, in the days ahead, the bride, that's the overcomers in God. That's the overcomers that have overcome the flesh, that have overcome the sin, that have overcome everything that God has told them to do. And everything that God has told them to, he's going to protect them. But the rest have got to go through these trials and these tribulations in order to bring them into focus of Jesus himself. You know as well as I do, when you are in terrible trials, when you're in terrible tribulations, you cry out to God. I know I have in the past, and I know most of y'all have too. We cry out to God, God, deliver me from this, and he will. And that's why I believe that most of the church in the Middle East and, all over the world goes through these hard times is God is doing it to get their attention put on to him. And he's the one that's going to be glorified in the days ahead. He is the only one that's going to be glorified in the days ahead, because it ain't nothing that we can do except believe and have faith that God's going to do this work that we believe, that we've walked into, this narrow road that he's put each one of us on. And I guess that's about it. If anybody's got any more comments as to what we're talking about here, I'd love to hear them.
Hey, Michael?
Danny?
Yeah, go ahead, Bart.
Quick question. For those that are over there in the Middle East, did they have an opportunity to escape? How does that factor in? Also, were they led by God to engage these people and put themselves at risk? Is that also a factor? I know some listeners, trying to analyze and process all this and foresee their level of participation in these things and what to expect. Could you address that?
Well, here's what I would say. The Lord always warns his people before things happen. If you remember, they were warned. Some people escaped. Most did not. And they were sort of caused. You have to listen, and you have to be walking that narrow road. You have to be seeking the Lord all the time. And when you're not, these things come upon you, and they happen. Bad things happen. I'm not saying that all of them, didn't go to heaven, not to the Lord. But I will say that those that went through those trials and tribulations very well could have been going against them. I don't know, Bart. From what I understand, a lot of them just didn't flee in time. And I don't know whether that they were listening to the Lord or not. I'm just saying, most of the time that's what happens. I remember the Russians when they got back in the 40s. Was it the 40s? No, it was in the 30s. When the Russian Christians, when the Lord told them to flee the country and go to China, a lot of them, some of them went, a few went, but most of them didn't. And they all, the ones who stayed behind, every one of them to the T, got sent to concentration camps or murdered. And that's what happens when we don't listen to God, when we're not seeking God. Here's the thing that you have to ask yourself and each one of us ought to be asking every day, is what's more important to me? Is my internet perusing more important than seeking the Lord? Is TV more important than seeking the Lord? I'm telling you, we're in perilous times. And when you're in perilous times, you need to be, we all need to be seeking the Lord and giving out what the Lord has given us so that the body can be warned. I'm telling you, the Lord is warning us here that this destroyer, he told us to fast and pray because the destroyer is coming. That's what we've been doing.
Hey, Michael.
Yes.
Did you change headsets or something? Because you're like breaking up really bad and you haven't broken up all night.
No.
Okay.
I did.
I mean, you just started. Sounds good now, but you just started like really breaking up.
Okay. Oh, so. Okay. I forgot where I was now.
I think the warning as far as the destroyer coming is what
I heard. Yeah. The Lord has had us fasting and praying, praying for the people across the world, God's chosen, God's bride, to be protected in this hour that we're in. That's where he's gotten us. And that's the message that we've been trying to give out here for quite some time now. And it looks like this thing is right up on us because it's, seems like every morning with something about the shaking that's fixing to happen. I don't know if I'd even answer what you asked, Bart.
Well, in a way it did, because I've noticed, let's see, what was it? In the past several years, I have heard anecdotal episodes where bad things happen and of a severe order, several times involving death, and it's only a little bit later when you are able to somehow, either through a radio report or a newspaper report or some spurious, you know, testimony from somebody familiar with the situation, that you find out that virtually a direct order of some sort, not necessarily from God, but somebody from a command authority, say a parent or, you know, somebody of significant stature issuing a directive that is just, in these particular instances, clearly disobeyed, and then the cost was huge. And I pick this up from time to time, and sometimes wonder if, when some bad things happen, if, you know, sometime down the road, another story emerges where, you know, somebody had was told, no, you're not allowed to do this, or don't do this, and the result is pivotably extreme. And I've also gathered in what I've in Bible studies and stories where God's involved, God places a very high, I can't think of the term at the moment, but if there's any indication that something is coming from God and that winds up disregarded, that's particularly costly. And so I these are the things that I think about from time to time in hearing stories about, like, for example, what Tim talked about, others that over here feel, oh, I got to do something, and they feel motivated, and they go over to the Middle East, and, you know, and I'm not close enough to the news to follow up on what happens with them. As, you know, God never said for us to directly to literally engage the enemy, almost in a, certainly not in a physical assault, but unless he's, you know, called people to do it, a verbal or present body move to minister directly in a very hostile environment. And so when these are brought up and people come back with questions, you know, I don't know if I can, you know, handle situations where facing this kind of pressure, if I can handle it. And then you know, followed up with, and I firmly believe this, everything that I've gathered up until now seems to, confirms this. Yeah, God does issue warnings, and he issues warnings for reasons. And so thought I'd posit that.
Yeah, well, it's those that are listening that get the warnings and they obey, you know. That's the key right there is obedience. That's what's happened in the past. We can see it as a type in the shadow all through the Word. You know, even in Jerusalem, when they went in 70 AD, he told them, he said, flee to the mountains. And what did they do? They fled to the mountains. They got away, but the ones who stayed back behind, what happened? They got taken away or killed, one or the other. And that's, that's where obedience comes in. That's where God is more important in your life than your. I'm going to say some things here that might make some of you mad, but I'm going to tell you something. Here's what the Word says. God has to be more important in life than your family, your wife, your daughter, your son, your TV, your golf game, your work, whatever, your computer. It has to be more important than anything else in the world. And when it's that away, God will talk to you. He'll tell you these things. He'll tell you when there's a warning. He'll tell you, he'll give you the warnings. He'll give you these things. And what we have to do is heed those warnings and do as the Lord tells us to. If you're in a place, it's like on the New Madrid Fault, if you're along the either coastline, you need to be praying and seeking the Lord. Now, if he wants you where you are, fine. You're going to be protected. But if he's talking to you and you ain't listening, then you don't have anyone to blame but yourself. So and if you're in the Middle East and you're in a Muslim country and you're not seeking the Lord daily, finding out, Lord, every minute over there, I mean, those people are living in danger daily. If you're not seeking the Lord daily, then, you have an idol. That's other than your life. I'm telling you something, we're coming to a time just like they're facing over there. And what you do with your time depends on whether or not you make it through or not. All right, anyone else like to comment on what we're talking about here?
Hey, Michael.
I am up. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Just real quick, I'll share as far as somebody shared a testimony with me, and I'll just share a little bit of it. And the interesting thing on this was they were like, at this time, they were probably in their early 20s, and they weren't really following the Lord. And they were working in a major city, and I believe it was in Washington. And this person came out of work and looked up, came into the lobby of where she worked. She worked in like a high-rise office building and came into the lobby, and it was a, you know, big high, big windows and stuff like that. And they looked up, and they had a vision, and they'd never had a vision before. And in this vision, it was snowing outside, and they looked up into these windows, and they saw an airliner basically coming down in the water and hitting a bridge. And I think it was in the Potomac, but hitting a bridge, and they knew that bridge was the bridge that they were, you know, supposed to go over. And so the person that was picking them up, she got in the car and says, we cannot go over that bridge. And you know, the person gave him a hard time, say, what are you nuts? We have to go over that bridge. It's going to cost us another 45 minutes. And she says, no, we cannot go over that bridge. And so what happened was, is that the person driving says, no, I'm going to go over the bridge. And, you know, they kept pleading, no, you know, we can't go over that bridge. And at the last minute, a car cut them off, and they missed the turnoff to go to take that exit or to go over that bridge. And they had to go over another bridge. And what happened was is they got, you know, to another place and ended up going into a building, and the television was on. And basically the report came that this plane just crashed that into that bridge. And this person knew that, and I think they even saw, you know, some footage from it, or they knew that if they would have went over that bridge, they would have been killed, you know, because there was some, you know, some people, you know, some, you know, there was, you know, traffic people that were killed during that time. But they had gotten a vision, and the driver of the car accused this person of being a witch, you know, because they knew this was going to happen. And this person didn't realize, I mean, this person was accusing to everybody that this, you know, that this person was a witch. And she didn't realize it was God giving her that vision. You know, she didn't understand visions or anything like that. But, she, you know, but now that she's come to the Lord and, you know, she's starting to come into the fullness, and she's learning that the Lord speaks to us in visions and speaks to us in dreams. She's had dreams most of her life, and just, you know, she's seeing the Lord in her dreams and this vision that she got that saved her life. So she knew back then that the Lord was watching out for her. And it was, you know, I just heard this testimony, but it was pretty awesome that, you know, she you know, she saw that, and she knew that she couldn't go over that bridge, and exactly what she saw in that vision happened right at the time that they would have been going over that bridge. And she now she just gives the glory to the Lord, and knew that even back then when she was lost and really not, you know, with the Lord, that the Lord was speaking to her and guiding her, you know, for this time, you know, protecting her for this time. So I thought that was kind of a neat testimony.
Amen. Man, he can use visions and dreams to bring you to the Lord, too. Amen. You have something, David?
Yeah, I was remembering some of the testimonies from Dimitri Dudeman. And, you know, he went through, and so did Brother Young. They both went through some pretty tough times in the governments they were in at the time. They both were in prison. They both were beat up bad. I mean, Dimitri Dudeman even lost all his teeth from electrical shock therapy they put him through. They beat their feet. I know Brother Young had a lot of broken bones, but they are all healed from the Lord. Dimitri was thrown inside of a prison cell with a bunch of rats were starting to climb all over him. He was crying out to the Lord, and an angel told him to look at him, to look up, and he did, and a bright light came in and killed all the rats. I mean, these men did nothing wrong. They weren't there because of something they were lacking. If anything, they had faith. They were running after the Lord. They had visions. They had dreams. They did work for the Lord, but they still went through some pretty hard times in prisons. And Dimitri told a story about how they were praying and fasting with a group of men for like 3 or 4 days, all holed up in a room, because they were trying to get access into Russia to deliver some clothes and food for a group that had been cut off from the Russians. They were basically isolated, and they needed food and clothing, and they prayed and fasted for 3 or 4 days. And then they finally got the go-ahead to go in, and so they ran in, and they stopped and got all this food and clothing at a store somewhere in Russia, and when they did that, they attracted the attention of the officials, and then they were traveling out there in a couple of carloads, and all of a sudden they're being followed by the KGB, and they're getting closer, and they're getting nervous, thinking they're going to get stopped and, you know, detained, and they start praying to the Lord, Lord, we're here, we're doing this, what are you going to do? We need your help. And out of nowhere came a storm, and it became so bad and cold and furious that it broke the window of the KGB car so they couldn't follow anymore, but it didn't harm them. I mean, when they finally got to this group of people that needed these supplies and food, they had been praying and fasting really hard, too, for these men to show up and get there for the Lord to deliver them. But when they got to this group, it was a mixture of Jehovah's Witnesses and Catholics and Baptists. All these groups were together praying in one accord. And that was kind of a statement what we're going to have to see in the United States is we're going to go through some tough times, but we're going to be dumping. What's going to happen is the people that are going to come together and seek the Lord, they're going to be dumping their denominational differences. They're going to be all coming together in one accord, and that's what the Lord wants. He wants one body. And so, if anything, you'll see this come on, and we might see some tough times, and it's got nothing to do, maybe with whether or not you're holy or not, or you're following the Lord, but it's just what He's going to do to pull His body through, His church through, to get them to come to Him for all their needs and supplies and trust fully in Him. And we might see some hard times. We might see some physical treatment that we're not going to enjoy, but He's going to pull us through all that too, because these men came through that. And they had great testimonies. I mean, no, they didn't enjoy it when they were going through it. No, it was terrible, but at the same time, the Lord provided and healed them. Demetrius talking about after he got out of prison, he was lying around for a couple of weeks, like almost his body started to stink, like it was starting to die. And that angel said, Demetrius, what are you doing? Get out of bed. Go. And he jumped right up, and all of a sudden everything was healed. Totally healed, totally transformed, like a new body again. So, you know, these times coming on us are going to be very confusing, I guarantee you. But we've got to look at our God that's going to get us through it. And the angels that are going to be there to help us. It may be trying, but if we keep our eyes focused and have that single eye, that single focus, we'll get through these times. And people are thinking, how can this happen? What's going on? Well, the Lord wants a pure bride. He wants a perfected bride. He wants everybody being in one accord. He doesn't want division. And so that's what we're going to have to strive for. No, that's what we're here for. That's just what I wanted to share.
Well, that's true. These trials and these tribulations are to prove us. They are to, as Paul said, when you endure in your faith to the end, you know, he had that devil run around with him. He ate beatings and shipwrecks and left out in the water for a couple of days and got snake bit and got stoned. I don't know what all happened to him. But he said the reason that was for it was to prove him in patience, to give patience to him a lot of times. And love, that love that God puts in our hearts for even our enemies. That's what these trials are for, you know. When you go through these things and you have patience to endure in these trials to the end, till you see God's glory, that's all to give God's glory. That's good, David. Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael.
Hey.
I've shared this kind of part of this once before, but I think there's a lot of new listeners since then. When I was just a young boy, my parents helped a lot of people come over from during the Holocaust from Germany and Czechoslovakia and Yugoslavia, and every one of them had kind of the same story that they all knew. They were told what was coming, but they didn't pay any attention. They were told to leave, but they didn't. And they had some awesome testimonies. And I was really young, but the one I remember, this guy was in a lineup, and they used machine guns, and they just mow him down. And he knew what was coming, so he made a jump for over this wall, this stone wall, and he got shot. And he played dead, and he said, as far as he knew, they went along and they shot everyone else in the back of the head except him. when they came to him, for some reason they didn't shoot him in the back of the head, and well, he knew that was the Lord, and he would crawl at nighttime for days. He'd crawl at night, and then he'd sleep during the day, and finally he got to where he, you know, got to where somebody would help him, but they just had some awesome stories, but every one of them said they were warned. Like you said, the Lord always lets people know.
Amen. Yes, he does. He warns his people, and the warning is have been given out, you know, for now. The warning has been fast and pray and seek the Lord. Find out what he wants for you to do, you know, what he wants, where he wants you. And if he wants you to do anything. All right, anyone else like to share anything?
I have a question.
Okay.
It's kind of related, but I'm just wondering if everybody that's in the two witnesses, if those are all meant to be martyred or if some of them are going to live to the end?
Yeah, it's going to be a corporate two witnesses, of course, as you probably already know.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, there'll be a lot of them martyred. There'll be some of them that won't be martyred. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. That was my question. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? I don't know if any of you heard that testimony of Boris Sarosky. I gave it here, I don't know, probably about a year ago on the Wednesday night broadcast where I think his parents and him, I think he was born in China when they'd gone to China and was able to move to Australia and then to move from Australia to Canada. But he told of the story of the Russians that escaped that out of there were 400 families that started out that the Lord had told them, you need to move. You need to go to China. Go where I tell you to go. That's what he told them. To this new country. And out of the 400 people or families that left, I think it was only 30 or 40 of them that made it because the rest of them turned back and went home because it was too hard for them. They didn't think that maybe this was what was going to happen, that they would be sent to concentration camps and things like that. They'd rather go ahead and take their chances rather than go ahead and do what God had told them to do in this hard trip to this new country. I don't remember how many miles it was that they had to go over land to China, but it was a considerable distance. And a lot of them went back. All of them that went back were either killed or martyred, every one of them to the T. He had found out later that every one of them to the T had either been sent to concentration camps in the Siberian cold or had been killed. And, of course, the rest of them made it to China and through many trials and tribulations. God sent them there. And then they stayed in China until the communist revolution there took place. And he told them to move again. And, of course, they all moved that moved. There were some that didn't move there, and they got killed or sent to prison themselves. So when God tells you to do something, we need to do it. If he tells you to flee, you need to flee. All right, anyone else?
Hey, Michael, I just, you know, we hear these stories, and, you know, none of us want to go through any of this, you know. And that's why, you know, we just, you know, we need to abide in Christ, but it just, it kind of wigs out the flesh. You know, we don't want to go through the pain. We don't want to go through the scars, the, you know, what people think, you know, and all this stuff. It's just, there's all these little anxieties and fears and all this as far as, you know, being martyred and that, you know, but the Lord is raising these people up for these testimonies because it, these testimonies that are stirring us up, you know, and even with, you know, Dimitri and the things that he went through being, you know, thrown in a pit with rats or, you know, whatever it is, and the Lord showing up and killing the rats and, And it's a testimony for us, is to get our eyes on the Lord and not get our eyes on the fear, and get our eyes on these testimonies as far as the power of God and what He can do. And I mean, he raised these people up that I shared about for a testimony, and that 13-year-old man is, just has the biggest smile on his face, and he's forgiven them, and he's going to have, he's going to have a tough trial ahead, but it's just, his attitude is amazing, and it just encouraged me, for somebody that young to go through that and to, just still be proclaiming Christ so I'm just saying that this whole thing, it really is to grow us up, add to our faith, and that, put the fear of the Lord in us. And, and a lot of the people with them got killed and stuff like that. And hopefully, they made it into heaven, because, heaven isn't bad, as far as that. But these people were strong enough to go through what they went through and share their testimonies and encourage us. So that's, just something I was seeing. And we ask, because a lot of the apostate teachings and stuff like that some of these people are being taught is coming from our own country. And, you were wondering, why isn't it happening here? I mean, we're just falling asleep, and, there's so many different Jesuses out there and all this, but we know it's coming, it's just, and is it because we've got, like in Jesus's day, the Roman government around us, and, type thing, there was this kind of false protection of the beast, we're over there, they don't have this big Roman government around them, and, the Muslims can come in and do what they want, and, so we've got this kind of this false persona, but, the Lord's going to bring down, this country, bring down its power, bring it to its knees, and they're not going to be able to protect the people, is the way I'm seeing it. And these things are going to start, the judgment is going to start. And that's where we just have to be, on Mount Zion and not in fear, and just be in the rest, and, not in anxiety, and not, just be in the Word and not stuck to the, television, watching on CNN all these atrocities going on, but, focusing on the promise and focusing on the truth and not get sucked into the, fear and everything that's going on in the world. So, just a thought.
Yeah, well, amen. Where did you rather get your news from, Jesus or CNN? CNN may be lying. They've been doing that for a long time, or even Fox News, as far as that goes. I'd rather get mine from the Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him to tell me what to do. Something else that occurred to me just a minute ago while you were talking, Tim, is that even people in large cities need to be seeking the Lord and finding out if He wants them to move, getting out of there. Finding out, if you're there and the Lord wants you there, then you're protected. You don't have to worry about a thing. But if you're not seeking the Lord and you don't know, then you could be at risk. So that's something that you ought to be thinking about and praying about. Idols. Get rid of the idols in our lives. That's what God has really been hammering home to us, is get rid of the idols. If you've got pride, it'll take you to hell. That's what took Satan out. If you've got a religious spirit, I know everything, you need to get rid of it. Anything, I don't know, it could be a little old simple something or other that the Lord has showed you, but you hadn't dealt with it yet. You have not dealt with it. If you're finding yourself, you're isolating yourself for some unknown reason or other, I don't know. But if you're doing that, you need to find out why you don't want to be with God's people.
Amen.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Brother Michael. Blessings to you.
You too, brother.
Yeah, I was... quite a subject you're on. The other night after Tim shared what he did about what was going on in Nigeria, I was up in the middle of the night and I read 179 pages out of the martyrs, the stories of the martyrs, and recognized that what we're experiencing in this country is not normal. The devil's always made war against the saints, you know, and throughout the earth, normal is to be persecuted and martyred continually for the faith of Christ. In prison, Jesus said, they're going to falsely accuse you. Families are going to betray one another. Children, fathers, children, mothers, they're all going to betray one another. Brothers are going to betray one another unto death. He said, they will deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you. You'll be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, shall betray one another and hate one another. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. And we're in that time. And we're in a time right now where we got the fluffiest generation that's ever been in church history, I think. We at best, we fit Laodicea, this nation, right now. And I think that, our theology, it's really good perspective to read the history of the brothers that have gone before. Tim was talking about... Dimitri Dudema being in a cell, and they put rats in there with him, and he called on the Lord, and the Lord killed them all. You read the story of Alexander Noble in his book called I Will Die Free in Cuban prison, and they put him in a cell in the dark with snakes, rats, spiders, every biting varmint there was, and they locked him in there, and he was in there for a month. Like that, without being able to see a thing, with everything there chewing on him. And he wrote a book called I Will Die Free. And the man was an overcomer. He overcame no matter what they did to him. And I've read the stories of these martyrs and the things they're going through. That's normal, as far as what I'm reading in church history. Normal is that if you were of this world, the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, I've called you out of the world. You'll be hated by this world. The servant's not greater than his Lord. If they've hated me, they're going to hate you also. The day's going to come, they'll kill you, thinking they do God a service. And then he goes on and he says, and they'll deliver you up to afflict you, kill you. And another verse later says, but none of it, not a hair of your head will perish. We'll be in a place where we understand that... That this is normal, and we need to arm ourselves with the mind to suffer. And what I realized when I was reading the story of these brothers, some of them, with such joy, would just thank God for the privilege of being burned at the stake for Jesus Christ. They'd go up and kiss the stake, and the brothers would just rejoice and praise God while the fires were getting going, because they knew that hour they were going to be with the Heavenly Father in His eternal kingdom forever. But it was reality to them. It was not a theological position. And as I was reading the stories of many of these brothers, I just couldn't seem to stop. I read and read and read for hours about the brothers from one end of the earth to the other. And what I realized is that they had a much greater reality than I'm walking in, and I'm crying out for that clarity of vision that counts this world and all of its suffering as nothing. But I think what the problem has been is our nation, we're blinded by our culture, and we're experiencing, we don't have any other thing to relate to. When you get converted in Iran, you know good and well, they get you straightened out right away that a brother, you might be dead within a month, so you might as well deal with it right now. That happens in Pakistan. It happens in, Burma or Indonesia or 100 other places around the world. People have to prepare themselves for that probable reality. They do that in Nigeria. They do it all over the world, Sudan and Libya and Iraq and 100 places. But over here, people have heaped to themselves teachers after their own desire, after their own lust, and have turned their ears away from the truth unto fables. But the bottom line is that, as Paul said, I'll share that verse one more time, just because it's such a good one in Romans 8 when he says, and who shall separate us from the love of Christ? shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, we are killed all the day long and accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I wouldn't bank all of my theology on a doctrinal position that we're not going to go through that kind of suffering. We need to arm ourselves with the mind to suffer one way or another. I was thinking last night that scripture, Mike mentioned about it last night. There were two scriptures that were on my heart last night. I was out meditating on the word. And the one of them was, I think it's in maybe in Luke 19. He said, when he drew near the city, it said he beheld the city and wept over it and said, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things that belong to your peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. For the day shall come upon you when your enemy shall cast a trench about you and compass you about and keep thee in on every side and lay thee even to the ground and thy children within thee and shall not leave one stone upon another because you knew not the time of your visitation. And if I've ever seen a time when a people can't discern the sign of the time, you know, Michael was talking about idolatry and how right now I have a lot of brothers that I know that are in the middle of these big cities in coastal areas. I have some friends right now that I'm talking to who are at 5 feet sea level or 14 feet sea level. That's where their places are, where the big cities they live in, the big cities, you know. And I talk to them, and I talk to them, and they don't have ears to hear because they've got one brother's got a house that's a mansion. It's a $1 million house, more than $1 million house, probably a $3 million house. Exotic wood floors and 25 foot ceilings, and indoor swimming pools, and all of this stuff. And he's got rentals all over the big city, and he's got grandchildren. He cannot hear. You cannot talk to him because he cannot hear it because it's too big of a price tag to even think about that. I can't go there. I'm just not going to go there. And I talk to other brothers in their business. They've got a business, and they're in the middle of these big cities for commerce and for making more money, and you can't talk to them. And I recognize some of them I've given up completely to even trying, and I recognize with all my heart the only way they're going to hear it. I would to God that we could hear the still small voice. That's the way to hear God if you can. Because if you don't hear God with a still small voice, then he'll send a brother to rebuke you. And if you don't hear that, he'll send another brother. And if you don't hear them, then he'll start the reproof of life, and you'll start getting great resistance all around you. And if you don't hear that, then God can bring you major crisis in your life. And if you don't hear that, God will stick the devil on you and let him have a chew on your hide for a while. But I tell you what, one way or another, we're going to get the message. And I tell you what, we can get it with a still small voice. And blessed are those who can hear the still small voice of God and that will listen and are willing to obey and then have not tied to this world in such a way that if God says go, they say, I'm sorry about that. You know, I thought of this, the other scripture I thought about last night. I don't know where it is. I forgot where it was. But he says this, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? For I have no place to bestow all of my fruits. And then he said, I know what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all of my fruits and all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years to come. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And the Lord says, you're a fool. This night your soul is required of you. And then who shall all of those things be that you have provided for yourself? And then it says, so is everyone that is rich in this world, but not rich toward God. Brother, that is, it's easy to go, yeah, that's those guys up we have a place up here called Big Mountain and Iron Horse where the fancy houses are. But you know, like we said, rich man is, in India, it's the guy with the bicycle. And we just get very subjective and go, oh, them rich people, you know. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl, for your misery shall come upon you. But you know, we better take a good look in the mirror and begin to wean ourselves from the affections of this earth, because with varying degrees, we are blinded by our culture. To varying degrees, all of us are affected. I mean, if I am hot and I want to, I'll just go buy me some ice cream, or I'll stop at the store. You know, we have such freedoms that we have, but we're about to get a strong weaning, and if we won't allow our souls to be weaned and our flesh to be weaned, God will wean us one way or another. You can get it with the still small voice or the board in the head. But one way or another, we're all of us getting ready to change. Our lifestyle's going to change, and we're going to come to a place where, the reason why it's so easy for those brothers in India and the brothers in Africa to believe God and to have that simple faith is they have nothing. Jesus said, how can you believe that seek the honor of men? And it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And these people, when they've got one tin cup in the back of their backpack and everything they own, they can carry in a little knapsack on the back of their back, and they if they have a meal a day, every 2 days, they're blessed beyond measure. We just don't know how we're affected, how much this culture has affected us. And Satan has probably done better with this than with great persecution as far as getting people that will be irrelevant religion. But I tell you what, God is going to have a people, a remnant in every nation, kindred, tongue, people, and tribe. He's going to have a people that will walk with him and that will bear faithful witness. But as Tim told me, and I think yesterday he said, it's a pretty small remnant. And I'm beginning to think so too. How many people, each one of us, do you know that are just really not in the race anymore? Brethren that once had some fire in their heart and once had some stability and once stood in the Word, and they've taken off on one tangent or another. And, you know, it's just amazing. But I believe with all of my heart that the key to surviving and not being a part of deception is a love of the truth, a willingness to obey. I felt like the Lord spoke to me one time, and he said, the prerequisite to obedience is hearing the command. The prerequisite to hearing the command is willingness to obey. And the prerequisite to being willing to obey is complete surrender. We've got to be in a place where if the Lord says go, you go. Or if he says give it, you give it. If he says walk, walk. If he says stay, stay. We just got to be in a place where the Lord Jesus, I've said it before, you've heard it 100 times, but he said, I do nothing of myself. The words I speak are not my own. The Father works hitherto I work. And if he, the most capable of all beings that ever walked this earth, said, I do nothing of myself, what on earth do we think we can do in ourselves? It's just appalling to me. I'm appalled at my own heart. And right now, we need to just be drawn before the Lord, and we need to be crying out for God to shine his light in every dark place of our heart. Wherever there's a bondage, we got to get real with it. If we've got something in our life right now that is a stronghold, don't hide it. He that covers his transgression shall not prosper, but he that confesses and forsakes it shall have mercy. Go to the brothers, cry out to God, get deliverance, whatever you need to do. But brothers and sisters, it's too late in the game to be carrying baggage. Now, I think of that scripture after the whole, I won't go into all of it, but I will say just the last part of that scripture in Hebrews 11, when it said others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings, of scourgings, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth, and these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And the next verse says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, all our brothers that have gone before and have fought the fight and have overcome and have like that scripture says, that these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Truly, had they been mindful of the country from whence they had come, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. So these brethren didn't receive the promise, but they got a hold of it. They saw it by faith. They forsook their citizenship in this earth to pursue a kingdom and a city whose builder and maker is God. So he exhorts and says, therefore, seeing we are compassed about with this great cloud of witnesses that have gone before, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such a great contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you should be wearied and faint in your minds. For you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And brothers, these brothers are calling us on. They're rooting for us. The Lord Jesus is making intercession for us right now. And they're going, come on, brother, don't get distracted. Keep focused on this thing. Run with all of your might. Well, if there's a sure reward for your labor, if you'll... Like it says in the 58th chapter, I think, of 1 Corinthians 15, wherefore he says, therefore be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as you much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Brothers, there is eternal treasure. Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven if you'll do these things, if you'll walk with him, if you'll obey him, if you'll lay down your life in this world, if you'll be poured out a drink offering to God. They that lay their life down in this world, you, it's a faithful saying that if you be dead with him, you'll live with him. If you suffer with him, you'll reign with him. And if you deny him, he will also deny you. But this is the sure promise Paul strove for, cried out. May we, until we can say with Paul, we must be able to have this testimony. He said, my departure is now at hand, for I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, and not only me, but all that love his appearing. And the only way that we'll love his appearing is if we are in the light. We've already judged ourselves, so we won't be judged. And in that day, we'll be joyful at his appearing, because we've got nothing to hide. It's all been exposed already. And we're in that light. We're walking in resurrection life, and the judgment's already taken place in our life. And may that be our portion.
Amen and amen. Well said. Again, Michael, thank you very much. Anybody got any comment?
I'm just feeling convicted. I just got conviction all over me. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Confess your sins one to another that you may be cleansed. Praise God. Me too. No, it didn't. I don't know. Has anybody else got anything you'd like to share?
And how to share when you're feeling numb.
Yeah, I understand.
Oh, man.
Well, well, Michael's right. The United States Church, the U.S., the America's churches are so caught up in themselves that they don't even understand the Word of God. And that's why God's going to do this thing that he's going to do, this tribulation thing. It's going to be to get their mind off of, well, I'm okay, you're okay, I'm okay kind of Christianity, and get them off the fence. And they're either going to be off the fence running for Jesus or off the fence running for Satan in a religious spirit. That's the way God's got it designed. They're either going to have to go for him or go for Satan. And a lot of them going to go to Satan. A lot of them going to go to the Lord too, though. Praise God. You know, he said that during his times of trials and tribulation that his grace abounds much. And I believe just because he's ramping up this, everybody in this room right now, if you don't understand that this world has gone to hell in a handbasket, then you need to get your eyes focused on Jesus, because, man, I tell you what, it's so far removed from Jesus now in this country that I'm surprised that God hasn't already passed judgment on us, hasn't already brought judgment upon us as he did Sodom and Gomorrah. But God's timing is perfect, so he's given us grace and he's given us mercy and grace to get right with him, get it together, and to start seeking him with all our hearts. So that's,
like my,
yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Well, I, you know, Michael just closed with is that, you know, we need to judge ourselves, you know, so we're not judged. I mean, we need to, you know, we all know where we're compromising and where we're in complacency and that we're not in obedience. And, you know, we can see the stumbling blocks. We don't want to hear about it. We're, you know, drawn to that internet news or, you know, whatever it is that, you know, just sucks up our time, you know, when we're not in the Word. You know, we're watching that, you know, that our favorite sports team or whatever it is, you know, there's just things in our life where, you know, we're being distracted. You know, there's a lot of distractions in this world. There's a lot of draw of this world. There's a lot of glory in this world. And, you know, we're trying to walk the crucified life, but there's, you know, we got one foot in the world and one foot on the narrow path, you know, and he's just, you know, it's just time to get serious as far as, you know, just get right with the Lord. And, you know, I just see that there's, you know, even with me, it's just, there's certain things that just, you know, the world just draws and you know, or things that, you know, you've been set free from that you're kind of being drawn back into and you know, kind of complacency. Well, you know, I thought, you know, this was, you know, these earthquakes are going to all start, you know, 2 years ago and they haven't started yet. And, you know, is this really going to happen? So we start thinking, well, you know, we start doubting and that we start getting more complacent or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, we can't lose our focus, you know, because that's what Michael and I were talking about, is this remnant is very small. And, you know, there's people out there that just love the Lord and have got gifts from the Lord. And they're living in, you know, they're living in areas that, you know, could be very dangerous. And you talk to them about what we're seeing as far as the judgment coming and the dreams and the visions and, you know, earthquakes and tsunamis and all these things that, you know, that we're trying to put this puzzle together. And they're amazed. They're like, really? You know, I mean, they're just, and I don't know if that's because they think they're just going to fly away and they've got an idol in their heart about that. And the Lord isn't showing them that, you know, but, you know, they love the Lord. You know, they've got depth. They know, you know, you know, some of these people that, you know, they're hearing from the Lord and you try to bring them a warning and they're like, you know, they got an idol in their heart, you know, so we got to get rid of those idols in our hearts. But, you know, he's opened us up to this truth and, you know, he wants to use us. He wants to get us cleaned up. And that's why we're going through the trials we're going through now. And, you know, and just, it, you know, most of us are all, I mean, we're, you know, we got some major trial going on. I mean, the Lord is exposing stuff and it's like, man, we got to get, you know, he's trying to say, you got to get cleaned up. You know, I really need you. So, but that was an awesome word you brought through, Brother Michael Montana. I just I appreciate it.
May I say one more thing, Tim?
Yes, sir.
I just was one thing that stood out to me, and I forgot to bring mention to it. And that scripture in the 19th, I think, chapter of Luke, when he said to the people, he wept over the city, and he said, "If thou hadst known, at least in this thy day, the things that belong to thy peace." And then he said, "But now they are hid from your eyes." And I thought, what does he mean? They're hid from his eyes. And then I remembered when Jesus stood over Jerusalem and wept over it. He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which stonest the prophets, killest them which are sent to thee. How oft I would have gathered you together as a hen doth her little ones, and you would not. And behold, now your house is left unto you desolate. You will not see me again henceforth until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord." There was a blindness, the judgment. One of the judgments said, come on. And this was, when he said to the people, "Now they are hid from your eyes," it was 35 years before that prophecy was fulfilled, approximately, when 70 AD, when they came in and wiped out Jerusalem. But he said, "Your enemies are going to cast a trench about you, compass you around, keep you in on every side, lay thee even to the ground, and thy children within you." and not leave one stone on another, because you knew not the time of your visitation. But the bottom line is he said, it's hid from your eyes. And this is what is frightening me right now, is what I'm looking around. I see that there's a blindness, God-given blindness is coming on people, even people that once walked and that once professed the Lord and now they're going in stupid things. They're doing dumber in a box of rocks type things. And you're going, what are you doing? You know better than that. But people, we've got to be very guarded at this time that we love the truth, that we have an open heart to God, because he said, but it's hid from your eyes. Now it's hid from your eyes. And I believe that even before the judgment, it was 35 years before the judgment fell. And he said, but it's hid from your eyes. And I'll tell you what, I see it right now. That thing is happening. People, it's hid from their eyes. They cannot see it anymore. They wouldn't. One brother said at first they would not hear, and then they could not hear. And that's a terrible, frightening thing. And the other verse to remember is, as fishes are taken in a net, and as birds are taken in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them.
Amen. You know, a lot of people say we're in the last hour. Well, I don't know if we're in the last hour or the last minute before this thing starts. It doesn't make any difference. We still need to be ready at all times. You know, we've been talking about this tribulation and what's going to happen probably for, gosh, I know David's been talking about it for a long time. And people sometimes, just like myself, I've been talking about it with people that I know back in Arkansas. I've been talking about that for 15 years or even longer. And here's what I get from them, you know. You've been telling us that for this long. Ain't nothing happened yet. Well, get ready, because it's going to happen sooner or later, because the Lord said. God said, and when God says it, it's going to happen. It doesn't have to happen right away. I believe it will, but you need to be ready whenever it does happen. Like Michael Montana was talking about it, we all need to be ready for this time ahead. All right, we're running out of time here, it looks like. I want to ask, does anybody need any kind of prayer? Some folks. Okay. Does anybody need any prayer before we close out tonight? Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Yeah, go ahead. Somebody was talking.
Is Joe, yeah?
Yeah, Joe.
Did I need some prayer? I just need some, everybody can agree with me, some wisdom on what to do with my two kids. One with two of addiction, one with video games, and another one with drugs, please.
Get me out, Tim.
He wants prayer for wisdom, what to do with his kids. One addicted on video games, and the other, you know, is experimenting with drugs. So Joe's looking for wisdom as far as what to do.
Okay. Well, Father, like in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Joe to you, Lord. Give him wisdom and understanding and discernment into what you want him to do, if anything, other than believe that his prayers are being answered by you, Lord. And I ask that you give him a vision or a dream or something like that, Lord, that would confirm that you are working in his son's life, Lord. And I praise you for that. Lord, just give him wisdom in the word. And thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Give him bold faith, Lord, to believe your promises as well. And we thank you for that. Lord, we just come together tonight, Lord. I lift up everybody in this outreach tonight, Lord, that you do a mighty work in their lives, Lord. If there's any kind of idols or any kind of darkness in their hearts, Lord. Any kind of sin in their life, Lord, that you would expose it to them, Lord, so that they can repent. And those, Lord, that don't want to repent or don't want to walk that crucified life, Lord, I ask that you separate them from the people around them that do, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. And I praise you, Father, for the work you're doing in every one of us, Lord, to keep us on that narrow road and to expose darkness in our lives so that we can be right with you, Father. That's what all of us are striving for, is to be right with you, Lord. Nothing else matters. Our pride doesn't matter. Our flesh doesn't matter. Our life doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is what you want us to do, Lord, and our obedience to you and the love that we have for you, Lord. And I praise you for the work you're doing in all of us. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to, we're all of us, you're going to put it in us to endure to the end this walk that you have us on, Father. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, bless us tonight with a good night's sleep. Guard our thoughts. Help us to cast down those vain imaginations. Lord, guard our lips to speak only as an oracle of God, and no cursings, only blessings, Father, to come forth out of our mouth in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for doing that work in each one of us. In Jesus' name, bless our day tomorrow, too, Lord. Bless Joe and Nora as they go forth today into their work. In Jesus' name, bless them mightily, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Good night, everybody, and God bless.